CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals. Whether you own or run a business or would like to start one, this is the place for all the answers. Now, here's your host, Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. Welcome to my show. Before we get started, if you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my informational blog postings going back years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. And you can even see some of the job openings that we may have in the United States and even around the country. Matter of fact, we are looking for home resource coordinators in the United States. They can be really anywhere but New York, New Jersey, or California, Alaska, or Hawaii. But any other states we're interested in, you work from home. So you can go on our website at ParagonHomeResources.com and just give us your information and send us a resume, and we might have a job for you. If you're interested in my political ramblings, and they are ramblings, you can go to NationalFreedomForum.com, look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you'll get my political blog postings every day. And if you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, one of the businesses that we're in, just go to ParagonHomeResources.com, look for the line that says blog. Same process, put your information in there, follow the confirmation instructions, and you'll get my very interesting home-related blog postings every day. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go to TalkZone.com, and they're all hanging there as podcasts. So if you've missed any weeks and you just can't wait to hear my pearls of wisdom, just go there and you'll find all of my shows hung there. We always start the show with seeing the train coming. And one of the trains that I see coming and have seen for a long time are student loans. Currently, there's more than $1 trillion of student loans sitting out there waiting to explode on the government, and assuming that, you know, a lot of them end up in default because some of these kids just don't have the money to pay off these loans. So you know who's going to be on the hook for this, and that's you and I, those of us that pay taxes. But I guess what I would say to young people is, look, you know, when I went to college a million years ago, seems like a million years ago, I lived home when I was going to community college in California. And in those days, this was the golden era of California. For the most part, the community colleges were completely free. I paid a $5 activity fee and for books, and that was pretty much it. So the first 60 units, I went to community college. My sons went to community college, and they did the first 60 units free. Not free, but relatively cheap. I don't know what we were paying per unit, but it wasn't very much. And today, depending on where you live, community colleges can be very, very inexpensive. At a minimum, if you don't have any money, go to a community college and get the first 60 units of your 124-unit bachelor degree, whatever you're getting, Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, it doesn't matter. But take advantage of community college, folks. Don't borrow money to go to a four-year school for the undergraduate work that you could easily do at a community college for very little money. Heck, you could probably work at a McDonald's and pay for community college. Live home that 2 years. It's not the end of the world. You know, sponge off your parents that first 2 years of college before you have the need, maybe if you're going away to school, to cover the last 2 years. If you have to borrow money, which I encourage you not to do, only borrow it to pay for the last 2 years of college. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, gosh, I keep hearing that they're going to forgive student debt. Well, that's nice. Folks, you know, depending on your circumstances, I have a hard time believing that if they do end up forgiving student debt, that it won't be means tested. And by means, I mean your parents' means. And so if you're poor and you have nothing, and they do, your parents have nothing, and ultimately they do forgive student debt or part of it. I think there's talk about forgiving up to $10,000 of student debt. But I guarantee you, folks, it will be means tested. They're not going to forgive student debt for families that obviously are upper middle class or even higher than that. And frankly, they shouldn't, because at the end of the day, these families can afford to pay to send their kids to school. They shouldn't even have student debt, presumably, if the parents are in a position to pay for college or universities. Now, some people do the student debt because this, you know, it's another way. I should have bought houses with it, frankly. I worked my way through school. I should have taken advantage of student loans to buy houses, frankly, when I was a young kid. Who knew, you know, then? But that would have been a smart thing to do, to buy a house, buy my first home. But anyhow, I'm telling you, folks, don't do it. Don't take out student loans if you don't have to. Even if you have to stretch out going to college from 4 years to 5 years, work your way through school. For sure, take advantage of the community college option because, you know, the units are, I don't know, 20 bucks a unit, maybe 30 bucks a unit, maybe less than that. And for low-income folks, I know in some states you can get even community college for free. There's absolutely no reason to be borrowing money for the first 60 units in a college or university when you can transfer those. What my sons did and what I did, frankly, you know, I went to community college the first 2 years. I finished 60 units in 2 years. Vietnam was a powerful motivator because if you stayed in college, you didn't have to go to Vietnam when there were student deferments. And believe me, I really didn't want to go to Vietnam at the time. So I took my 15 units and I made sure that I had good grades and I didn't have to go, you know, because I thought, well, better to be in college, right? So anyway, you know, go to community college, get your first 60 units, and then transfer. My two sons both went to community college. One went to Cal State, and one went to, I have to think of the company, the university now, it's Lutheran University. I have to think of it anyway. Went to a private university. Both got their degrees. Yes, we paid for the last 60 units of college in both cases. We were in a position to just pay the tuition. California, they were going to school in California. Cal State was still relatively reasonable, you know, compared to private universities. That's the other thing, too. You know, unless you can get into Harvard or Princeton or Yale or Stanford or some of these really, really, really big name schools, okay, if you're borrowing money to go to a private university, that is an okay school, but, you know, obviously not Stanford, not Harvard, not Princeton, not Yale, you know, not one of the really big name Ivy League schools. I guess I would beg the question, why are you doing that? Why aren't you just going to a state university and, you know, getting your education, getting a degree? Now, you might get indoctrinated along the way because, you know, some of these state schools in particular are pretty woke. But some of the private universities now are pretty woke, too. So you might end up going to a pretty woke school no matter where you go these days. You have to think about that. But in any case, I'm reading articles about, you know, kids refinancing their student loans, you know, trying to find ways to get lower interest rates. Well, you should do it. If you can refinance and you can get a lower interest rate, that's a smart thing to do, certainly. But I'm just saying, if you can avoid it altogether, it's okay to work your way through school. There is no draft today. You don't have to carry a full load. You don't have to carry 15 or 18 units. You can carry 12 units. That's only four classes on a semester system. You know, you can stretch it out. You can work. You know, after I got my degree, I have a bachelor's degree in political science, a bachelor's degree in history, a standard secondary teaching credential. And then I started teaching school. And while I was teaching school, I went two nights a week and I got my master's degree in education administration and my administrative services credential. So I was working full time as a school teacher while I was getting my master's degree at night. And I was even teaching adult school the other two nights. There were years where I didn't see my house during daylight hours, you know, except on the weekends, because I was literally going from morning till night, teaching all day, getting my graduate degree, teaching adult school because I taught citizenship. Most people wouldn't want to do all of that, but I did it. And no student loans. I just paid for it, whatever the tuition was. And of course, to be fair, in those days, tuition was relatively cheap, much cheaper than it is today. And even in the California public universities, it's much higher now. But nevertheless, I just worked. And, you know, it takes focus. You have to be able to deal with delayed gratification. If you have to have everything now, then this isn't going to work for you. Because at the end of the day, you have to look a little further out and say, you know, I'm going to work really hard right now so that I don't end up with this student debt, so that maybe I can buy my first house, you know, within 3, 4, 5 years of getting out of college, which my wife and I did. You know, we bought our first house when we were 24 years old. And so, you know, that was what, basically about 4 years after I left university. I was still getting my graduate degree. But the point is, I had no student loans to pay off. My sons had no student loans to pay off. Now, they were lucky. I was in a position to cover whatever their university expenses were. But you can do this on your own. Don't saddle yourself with debt. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Now, back to CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind with the second segment of our show. You know, it's interesting. 31 years ago, I formed Paragon, and a lot of water under the bridge since we put the company together many, many years ago. And here we are today, and I'm working with some partners, and we're forming a new company. And we're going through, it's really a lot of fun, and we're going through all the stages and all the decisions that, you know, I had to make 31 years ago to form Paragon, the company that I own today, to form this new company. And so I thought, well, since I'm doing it right now, I would make it a topic on our show today. So obviously, if you're thinking of forming a new company out there, the first question I would ask you is, what do you have to sell? And is there a market for it? You know, are you going into a red ocean or a blue ocean? A blue ocean is, you know, where you want to be. Red ocean is, it's so saturated that you're wasting your time and money. You want to be in a blue ocean. You want to be in a business where, you know, you're filling a need that presumably, you know, isn't being filled today. And it could be something very, very, very simple, or it could be something very, very complex. But the place to start is money. You know, how are you going to fund this new business? What capital do you have? How much money can you put into it? I can tell you right now, just to get started, to set up a corporation, to get the accounting pieces in place that you need to get in place, to get the legal advice, you know, just to get started, to set up your website, to get your domain name, you know, as it relates to your website, to do whatever you need to do from a communications and IT, and so that you look like you're actually in business, okay? I would say you have to assume $20,000 to $30,000 before you even begin to try to sell whatever it is you're trying to sell. And that doesn't include if you were opening a store or something like that, where you have to have furniture and fixtures and whatever it is you're trying to sell. I'm just talking about putting the legal mechanics in place, and you have to do it right from the first day. Because otherwise, you'll make costly mistakes. And I know in our case, this new company will be a Delaware corporation. It will be headquartered in Texas, because Texas is a favorable business climate. If you live in a place that has lousy corporate income tax problems, I would say figure out a way not to start the business in that state, because it's not what you earn completely that matters. It's what you get to keep. And so in places like California, Illinois, New York, you know, I hate to say it, but the blue states, they're not favorable business climates. So if you're going to start a business, you might want to think about doing it in a state that actually has a favorable business climate that is not going to work against you and take a big part of your profits, you know. So as we think this through, you know, even though we'll be a national company, we're going to headquarter in Texas. We'll probably end up with employees or independent contractors working for us all over the country. But, you know, I know I'm going to talk a little bit next session or one of the sessions about making mistakes in business. I know what mistakes I've made, and I'm not repeating them. So anything that I did wrong in the last 31 years at Paragon, I'm certainly not going to do wrong again with the new company that we're forming. You have to decide, are you going to be a C corporation, Are you going to be an S corporation? It's a different tax treatment in terms of, you know, what's going to make more sense for you. And really, you need to get advice from an accountant, advice from an attorney, and determine what kind of corporation you want to set. In either case, they will be limited liability corporations, because that's basically what a corporation is. So you definitely want to set up a corporation to protect yourself from personal liability in reference to whatever you're doing in the corporation. You're going to want to have legal advice. You're going to want to have accounting advice. And folks, they charge by the hour, and they ain't cheap. But if you don't do it right, I can tell you, you're going to spend more on the back end trying to clean messes up that you may have created for yourself. The good news is, starting a business in the United States is not nearly as cumbersome as, say, starting a business in Europe or some other countries in the world. It's fairly easy, depending on the state that you're going to be doing business in. You have to decide, are you going to have partners? And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to talk about mistakes made in the next segment. Be careful who you get as partners. If you are going to partner up with somebody, make sure that they can make a contribution to grow your business. You don't do things just to be nice. You don't include people just because they're friends. You don't, you know, have somebody involved in your business just because you may have discussed some idea with them. The real issue is, are they going to pull their own weight? You know, what are they going to do to help grow your business? Because at the end of the day, if the answer is nothing and you're the basis for growing the business, you now have a business partner who owns part of your business that isn't pulling his or her own weight, or that can't contribute, doesn't have the talent, doesn't have the education, doesn't have the skill set to actually help you grow your business. And so at that point, why would you want them as a partner? Because at the end of the day, you'll come to that conclusion, and then you'll have to buy them out, and you'll owe them money based on the value you've created because you're the talent behind the business. So I'm just saying, you really have to think through, if you're going to start a business. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I encourage people. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. You know, years ago, I did some training in our own company, and it was voluntary. It was open to all employees in the company. And I did it in like 1 hour sessions. And I think I did 10 sessions or something like that. And it was all on starting and owning a small business, because I think people have a lot of misconceptions. And one of my employees came to me and said, gee, if you teach people how to start and own a business, why would you do that? They're going to leave your company. I said, well, we'll see about that. Because the first thing you have to recognize if you start a business is you're signing your name. And when you sign your name, you're taking on risk. And oh, by the way, you're the chief cook and bottle washer in the beginning. You're a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour employee. You're doing everything because you can't afford to hire a bunch of people when you first start out. Well, the funny part is when I did this training, you know, over a 10-week period or however long I did it, afterward, most of the people said, I don't want to do all that. I don't want to be a 724 employee. I don't want to take risks. I don't want to risk everything that I have. You know, I remember when we first started Paragon and, you know, I had to sign my name to various credit applications and lease agreements and all sorts of things. And to be honest, even though I had worked for Merrill Lynch for years and big companies for years, I never had to worry about stuff like that because there were always people that took care of those things. Well, now once I owned my own business, it was me signing my name to those obligations. And I remember saying to my CFO at the time, what does this all mean exactly? What am I doing when I guarantee something? And he said, well, it's pretty obvious if we fail then, and we go out of business, then they could come after your personal assets. They could come after your house. I said, are you kidding? And he said, yeah, they could. I said, well, that was a defining moment for me, because if I had cowered at that moment and if I had said, wait a minute, I don't want to risk everything. I was about, 39 years old when I founded the company. And, you know, I just started to build some assets. We owned a home. We had savings. We had some stock. You know, we were starting to do okay. And if I had cowered at that moment, if I had said, oh my God, I'm not going to risk everything at this point that I've spent 20 or more years, you know, building. If I had cowered, then I would still be an employee of another company today rather than owning my own company. But if you can't sign your name and still sleep nights and deal with all the craziness in business, folks, keep in mind, in 40 years, I've managed through multiple recessions. I've managed through stock market booms and busts. I've managed through the highest and lowest interest rates in American history. I've managed through the dot-com boom and bust. I was in New York for 9/11, and God only knows that was horrible. You know, I managed through the fiscal collapse in 2008, 2009. If you haven't seen the movie Too Big to Fail, I suggest you watch that movie. It was an HBO special because it was really scary times. And here we are in the last year or more managing through COVID. If you don't have a tough stomach and you can't sleep nights when you're dealing with a lot of things that could come your way, then you probably shouldn't own a business because it can be incredibly stressful. Now, it can be incredibly rewarding. And if you're successful, you can make a lot of money. If you're not successful, you could be gone in a year. And any investment, you know, most businesses that begin are usually gone a year or two later. They fail. They fail for lots of reasons, in particular, because people think they're going to start a business and they're undercapitalized. They don't have enough money to get it going and to put the pieces in place, or they have an idea, maybe, but they really don't know much about running a business. They don't have the skill set. And what I would say to people is, you know, go work for a big company for 10 years. Get some experience. See what it takes to even be part of a big business. So at least you're not going into something with your eyes, you know, not wide open. You've been there before. You've done some things. You've got a resume. You've got some credibility. You have some sense of what it means to manage cash and cash flow. And by the way, in any business, folks, cash is king. Always remember, cash is king. And so at the end of the day, it's always about cash flow. Do you have a dollar in front of you and a dollar in back of you? We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or just moving up the corporate ladder, this is the place for practical advice. CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind with the second half of our show today. If you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can see my blog postings going back several years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. You can see some of the job openings that we might have. And at the end of the day, I think you'll find the blog really interesting. If you're interested in my political ramblings, and many of you might be, just go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Same process. Look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll get my blog postings every day on the politics of the nation and the world. If you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, one of our businesses, just go to paragonhomeresources.com. Look for the line that says blog, same process. Sign up, follow the confirmation instructions, and you'll get my home-related blog postings. You might even see some of the job openings we have right now all over the country. We are hiring home resource coordinators in just about any state but New York, California, or New Jersey, because to be honest, they're lousy states to do business in, and Alaska and Hawaii only because the time zones are wrong. But any other state, if you're interested in becoming a home resources coordinator, it's basically a sales position, base salary plus commission. Just get me your resume because we are hiring. If you want to catch up on some of the shows that you may have missed, just go to talkzone.com. And you'll find all of my blog postings there, or really my podcast there, and you can catch up on any shows you might have missed. Okay, so in this third segment, I want to talk about big mistakes that I made in the last 31 years of managing my company. Now, keep in mind, I made a lot of good decisions too, or we wouldn't be sitting here 31 years from now, but I made a lot of bad ones that I've learned lessons. The first is being loyal to employees for far too long, and frankly, it ended up costing me a lot of money. Because, you know, I always, people that have been with me a long time, I've been very loyal to them. But the fact of the matter is, you really have to recognize, is an employee producing or not? And if they're not growing your business, if they're not helping you grow your business one way or another, it doesn't matter what the job is, from the receptionist right on up to any executive vice president of the company. If they're not there helping you grow your company, I don't care what the job is, then maybe it's time to pull the plug. And I know I'm all about loyalty, and believe me, I've been very loyal to people. And what I found in the end, it's cost me a lot of money. And it's actually hurt our company. Trusting senior managers that did not act in the best interest of the company. You know, recently we've had some redundancies and we've eliminated some senior management positions. And I've gotten back involved in some of the day-to-day stuff that, frankly, I hadn't managed in a long time. And it's been like lifting rocks. And I lift rocks and underneath it I find money. And I lift rocks and underneath it, I find stupid decisions. And I lift rocks and I wonder what the heck was that person doing for all the money I was paying them all those years. And so I've come to the conclusion that in some cases, and it's really one of three things, either the person was incompetent, either the person was, just stupid or something. I don't know. I don't know what to conclude, because some of the things I've seen now that I've gotten back involved just don't make any sense. So sometimes you may find that you have senior managers working for you that are not acting in the best interests of your company. And you know, my grandfather, my Italian grandfather, who never spoke English, he owned a grocery store. And he used to come to California a lot when I was a small child. We lived in California. And he would say to me in Italian, it's okay to hire people, but make sure you watch the register. Now, translation was, make sure you're watching the money coming and going, because only you, as the owner of the company, can really know and keep track of the money that's coming and going. And, you know, that lesson really has never been lost on me. And he simplified it. But if you're running a company, what he's saying is, you better know what's going on with your accounting system, and you better make sure that you're counting the money, because at the end of the day, it may not be there when you think it's there. If you have partners that are not contributing to the business, folks, it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better. And first of all, I would say to you that if you partner up with somebody, you better identify from the very first day before you even form a company, does this person have a role to play? Is this person going to be in a position to help you grow the company? Because if they're not in a position to help you grow the company, I guarantee you 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you're going to look around and you're going to realize that you as the business owner were creating the value and your partners were reaping the reward. And eventually you're going to come to the conclusion, this is pretty stupid, and you're going to want to buy them out. And you can do it, but it's going to cost you a lot of money. Spending money on marketing to get the glitz. We have spent so much money on marketing over the years. And when I think about it, you know, we got the glitz, but in many cases, it was a waste of money. So now, for example, if you're starting a new business and you need a logo, you can go out to bid. And for $299, we're just now doing it for the new company that we're forming. For $299, we got 70 logos sent to us. I guess, I don't know what they are, artists or what they are, for us to choose from for $299. Or you could spend thousands of dollars having some fancy marketing company design your logo for you. Don't do it. There are cheap ways to get websites done, to get logos done. You don't need printed materials anymore because everything is on the website. That's a huge savings, you know, relative to the old days when we used to print brochures. We don't do any of that anymore. Wasting money on fancy offices in numerous locations around the world. Folks, one of the benefits, if there is any benefit from COVID, is today everybody's working from home. And so it begs the question, do you even really need a bunch of offices? I don't know. Maybe you need one somewhere in the country. If you're a national company, that's sort of a core, a small little office somewhere, maybe, I don't know. But now the technology is there. that people can work from the moon. And our people are, not the moon, but they're working from states all over the country, and they're just as effective. They have the communications capabilities. I do Zoom meetings. I must do 2 or 3 a day. And so the notion of jumping on airplanes, you know, I have 5 million air miles. And so really what came out of COVID was tremendous savings in the travel budget. It's amazing. And so don't spend too much money on travel. Don't assume that just because you do a good job for a client that you're going to have them forever. You know, I've had situations where we've done incredible work for clients and somebody new will come in and get the position that we normally would relate to, and they want their pals in. And so they bring another company in to service the account. And you say, but wait a minute, we've done a great job. We've delivered great cost and numbers and all the different things. Sometimes it just doesn't matter. And honestly, it really is a killer when that happens. We put our back office in India years ago, should have done it sooner. The savings is incredibly substantial, about a third the cost. And we don't allow our Indian partner to talk to our employees because, you know, sometimes that's difficult, but they're incredible at accounting. And so we have Indians, we have an offshore arrangement, and we had to do it because we needed cost savings. Recently, we outsourced our HR and IT functions, should have done it years ago, but I was loyal to the people who worked for me. Great people, they're still great people, but the fact of the matter is by outsourcing HR and IT, we've saved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I should have done it sooner. I tried to do it three years ago, I couldn't get my management to do it. And finally, now that that management is gone, I got it done myself. And the savings is substantial. You got to make sure, folks, that you're making every dollar you can make. And so whether you make money in service fees, you make money in whatever it is you're selling, you have to price it properly. You know, you can't leave any dimes on the table. You really can't. Because at the end of the day, business is so competitive that you've got to maximize profits. We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit of America. This is CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the fourth and final segment of my show today, CEO Business Mind. I want to talk about President Biden's insane capital gains tax scheme. What Biden wants to do is he wants to take the federal capital gains tax up from the maximum that's paid, which is 23.8%, which includes an Obamacare surcharge, up to as high as 43.4%. Folks, let me explain what capital gains is. So let's say you buy a rental property and you buy it for $200,000, $300,000, let's say $300,000, and you keep it for 20 years or 10 years or whatever, and now it's worth $500,000. So there's a lot of little formulas and different things you have to do, but just to keep it simple, let's assume there was $200,000 in capital gains. Well, depending on the state you're in, you could owe capital gains in the state you're in. California is pretty expensive, about 10%, I think. And you would owe federal capital gains. So let's say you're in California and you're going to owe, right now, you would owe 23.8% federal on the gain and another 10%. So you'd be at right around, what, 34%. So if your gain was $200,000, you would take 34% of $200,000 and you'd have to pay that in taxes. What Biden wants to do for high income earners is to take that up federally to 43.4%. So now if you're sitting in California and you also have to pay California 10%, you're going to be right about 54%. So let's say you made $200,000 in gains. You're going to owe federal and state half of that money in taxes. Now, really, when you think about it, folks, and this is why it's such a stupid idea, why would somebody invest money in anything, frankly, if he was going to have to give half of it to the government in terms of the profit on that investment? Any investment could be stocks, could be bonds, could be real estate, whatever it is. It could be a home that you own that's not your principal residence, and therefore there's no rollover that you can take. So all of a sudden, you know, you have capital appreciation, which is wonderful. But under Biden's plan, depending on the state you live in, you could have to pay 50% or more in capital gains tax. So in essence, the government is getting half of your gain. So what is that going to do? That's going to condition where and how and when you invest your monies. And without investment, you don't have economic growth. And so if investors determine that they're not going to put money into property, you know, maybe they're going to, I don't know. All I know is if you have to give government half of your profit on a particular investment that you've made, it's going to start to condition how you do business and where you do business. Because at the end of the day, giving government half of your hard-earned money makes no sense. And so Biden, who wants to raise the personal income tax from around 37% at the top rate to 39.6%, basically 40% federal. And then again, depending on the state you live in, this is one of the reasons so many people are leaving states like California, because if nothing else, they want to avoid California state income taxes and capital gains taxes on their investments. They don't want to pay that. It's bad enough that you have to pay this much to the federal government of your money. And keep in mind that while you have an investment, let's say you have a rental property, and now you have rental income every year. Well, you're paying income taxes on that rental income every single year you own the property. Anything that's profit, you know, you take your expenses, you subtract them from your revenue, and the difference is taxable. So it's not like you haven't paid taxes on these investments, presumably depending on what they are, all along the time period that you own them, you probably have. And so now you're in a position where you pay taxes all along the way. And not only that, if you own a rental property, you're also paying property taxes along the way. It's not like you're not paying taxes. You are paying taxes on many of these investments that you may own. If you were getting dividends, if you had stock and you get dividends, those dividends are taxed as regular income in the year that you get them. So for the most part, the investments that you own, depending on if they're stocks, if they're bonds, unless they're tax-free, if they're real estate, if you've made profit, you're paying taxes on that profit every year that you own it. You're paying income taxes on that profit. And then, on top of it, Biden wants to charge you this outrageous capital gains tax. And oh, by the way, he also wants to raise the death tax. So if you die and you leave that property to your family, he wants to jack up those taxes too. And that really hurts, by the way, the family farm or the family farmer who wants to leave the farm to his relatives. So really, folks, we have to realize that the more money government takes from us, the less freedom we have. The bigger government gets, the less freedom we have. Government grows at our expense, not just from a money perspective, but from a freedom perspective. And so we need to start shrinking government. And government just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The national debt is up to $30 trillion. There is no way to pay off that debt, folks. At some point, there's going to be an explosion. And you're going to see the economic collapse of the United States if this keeps going. Biden wants a $6 trillion budget when we only bring in $4 trillion a year. We're talking trillion, not billion. A trillion is $1,000 billion. I mean, it's so much money that it's unfathomable. We can't even understand how much money it is. He wants a $6 trillion budget, which is $2 trillion that we will have to borrow from the Chinese and from others around the world, because we only get about $4 trillion in taxes a year. And so some of this stuff is plain and simple insanity. We're talking insanity. And unfortunately, the Democrats are going to use reconciliation to push this through, where they will not need a single Republican vote to make this happen. Now, the good news is maybe, just maybe, there's a couple of Democrat senators who are still sane. and who won't vote for this. It'll only take one or two because they only have a 50-50 in the Senate, and they have to get 50 votes plus the vice president to pass this craziness. So if one senator or two says no, then the Democrats won't be able to push it through. So far, Manchin from West Virginia and Sinema from Arizona, it looks like they may not go along. I'm hoping that there are a few other senators, Democrat senators, with a brain that say no as well. Most of them will say yes, for sure. No Republican will vote for what they're trying to do. Not one. Even the ones that were anti-Trump, they will not vote for what Biden is trying to do. The only way he can get it through is if all 50 Democrat senators plus Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. She votes for it. But if one senator says no, then let's see, it would still be 50-50, so it wouldn't pass. So one senator could stop it. Two senators for sure could stop it. So I'm just hoping that there is a Democrat senator with a brain, and it remains to be seen, you know, how many there would be. There could be a couple. There might be three. I don't know. But what Biden is trying to do is insanity, is fiscal insanity. It makes no sense. These are job killer kinds of policies. We see what's happening at the border. That's a disaster. We see what's happening overseas. He's made a mess. Believe me, folks, when we pull out of Afghanistan, and I'm not opposed to pulling out, but the Taliban is going to take over within 6 months. All of the blood, sweat, and tears and money that we've spent in Afghanistan, it will be for naught, because the Taliban, within 6 months, they will overrun Kabul, the capital. So Biden keeps making the dumbest mistakes probably since Jimmy Carter. And by the way, Jimmy Carter is who turned me into a Republican, because I voted for Ronald Reagan the first time as a Republican because of Carter. He was such an incompetent president. And so it seems that Biden is following along in the same footsteps. He's going to wreck our economy. He's going to cause a recession. Oh, by the way, let's not forget about the inflation. Prices are going through the roof. Prices are absolutely going through the roof because of all the money that's sloshing around from the federal government, all these entitlement programs, and everything else that Biden has done in the last, just what, 5 months that he's been in office. He shuts down the Keystone Pipeline. He kills 48,000 jobs, but he approves the pipeline from Russia to Germany. Now, how the hell does that make any sense when we could have shipped liquefied natural gas to Europe? They didn't need to buy gas from Russia. We have all the gas we could possibly get out of the ground, for God's sakes. We could supply all of Europe with natural gas. So, you know, you just wonder, what is this guy doing? Who is advising him? Can't be anybody with a brain, I can tell you that, because from an economic standpoint, none of it makes any sense. So we'll just have to see where this ends up. This is a business show, but what happens in Washington doesn't stay in Washington. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It does not stay in Washington. And so we just have to watch what they're doing, because it impacts our daily lives. You see the price of gasoline going through the roof? It'll be $5 a gallon by the end of the year because of Joe Biden. You see the food going through the roof? You're going to see food going through the roof at the market. Next time you go to the grocery store, see what you're paying. How about your energy bills? So, you know, we're watching some of this craziness, and it's only getting worse. We're out of time, folks, so just join us next week for more CEO Business Mind.